Let's do this thing, man.
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
Bitter, unhappy, miserable person.
So glad you could join me. I've got a lot planned for today's show, so let's just jump right into it with some emails, questions, and comments.
I'm just so thrilled.
You guys had a lot to say about the last episode I did, including Sean McClure, who said, "Hey, Monty, thanks for the show. Way to go on the Rammstein concert. It's always awesome to achieve a goal like that.
You make me proud."
Also, the vocals on the Billy Talent CD sound like Jeff Tate. Really cool. Thanks for introducing me to yet another killer band. Well, glad to do it, Sean. I'm glad you liked it. And just keep listening, and I will introduce you to many, many more.
Don't hold your breath.
James Nelson said, "Once again, another funk-tastic rock cast. Really enjoyed it, made me smile and laugh. It never disappoints."
No one's laughing now.
I also got an email from Ryan Sessions, who said he thinks all my podcasts are excellent, but the latest one gave him some vindication. Seems that a lot of his musician friends have always told him that Meshuggah was awesome and that he should definitely check them out. But when he bought their last album, he found it to be all rhythm, no melody, and it just put him to sleep. And then a couple of years ago, he heard the guitarist from Meshuggah say that he didn't think that melody belonged in metal, and that drove Ryan kind of nuts. And so it made him happy when he heard my comments on the Rockcast where I said, "Meshuggah, not really my thing." And so thanks, Ryan. I'm glad you appreciated what I had to say. And I'm kind of the same way. I've heard a lot of people say they love Meshuggah. I don't really get it, but to each his own. But melody doesn't belong in metal? Are you freaking kidding me? Tell that to Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, and Metallica. Melody is why those bands play in arenas, and the lack of melody is why Meshuggah will always be on the side stage.
That's almost profound!
I also got a really nice email from Steve in Connecticut. He said he just discovered the Rockcast a few weeks ago, and he's loving it. He said he's been a fan of Galactic Cowboys ever since he saw us opening for Dream Theater back in the 90s. And even has an old snail mail letter that I wrote back to him around 96. And he says, "Thanks for all the good music over the years. You guys were always cool to your fans." Well, you are welcome, Steve, and I'm so glad you discovered the show.
Why should he listen to you?
However, everyone was not so complimentary, and Tobin in Texas did not like my comments about mandals. And he said, "I would wear sandals to your show just because you don't like them. What you wear doesn't mean a damn thing. Who you are on the inside is everything." Well, geez, Tobin. Man, you have got me thinking about this. Maybe I've been wrong about this whole mandals thing. Could it be I've been too picky and judgmental? Maybe I should even go buy myself a pair of those Jesus sandals.
Yeah.
And perhaps wear them on stage.
I think it's a great idea.
Then again, no. No way. That will never happen.
Not a chance.
As always, I also got some questions from you guys. And the first one is from Dan Kearley, who says, "Hey, Monty, I'm a big fan of a lot of your work." Okay, well, apparently Dan is not a fan of all of my work, but apparently he likes a lot of it, so I will take that. And his question is, how did you guys get that massive grimy sound on the first GC album? Every time I go back to listen, I'm amazed with the sound. I imagine you used a 12-string bass a bunch. What were the guitars, amps, and pedals? Well, actually, Dan, I only used the 12-string on one song for that album, and that was Someone for Everyone. I didn't actually get that 12-string hammer until almost the end of the recording. And I actually used a Kramer 8-string for that CD. And for the amps, I was using an Ampeg bass head with a Marshall guitar head. And one reason why that album sounds like it does was because we had the bass in stereo. And it was super distorted, and it was just a big, massive wall of bass. And looking back, I don't know that that was a great decision, but it was what it was. And there was stuff on that album that I know a lot of people thought was guitar and bass playing at the same time, but it was just bass. Next question is from James Youngs, and he says, "Hey Monty, have you ever seen a Galactic Cowboys concert?"
Here's the answer.
Well, James, I've really only seen one. And it was the time back in the 90s when we were doing this headline tour, and we played this club out in the middle of nowhere in Sacramento. And we pulled up in our tour bus and set everything up and sound checked and then waited for everybody to start pouring into the club. And only one guy came to see us that night. His name was Vic, and he was sitting at a table, so I went out and joined Vic and sat down in the chair and played my bass and watched the band. And I gotta say, Galactic Cowboys, really good live.
They're brilliant!
James Ross in Houston sent me a message and said, "Hey Monty, in honor of the release of the new Jackal record, I thought I'd ask you about your opinion of the band, particularly since it appears that you guys both signed to Geffen around the same time."
That is a brilliant question.
Well, first of all, I do like a few Jackal tunes. They got some hooks and they rock pretty hard, but lyrically, they're a little hard to take seriously. But if I'm in the right mood, I don't even mind that. But as far as their new album, well, I know for sure of one guy that's going to have an opinion. And that's my old buddy right here in Kansas City, Jimmy Jeff.
Jimmy Jeff's concert and CD reviews.
The views and opinions of Jimmy Jeff do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Rockcast.
Obnoxious, ultra, redneck.
On the phone, we got Jimmy Jeff. Jimmy, are you there?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. What have you been up to?
Oh, not a hell of a lot. Today, I'm just taking her easy.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just gonna drink some beer and play some Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple of my cousins are coming over, and I'm gonna grill up some burgers.
Oh, yeah. Well, a tasty burger does sound good.
Well, you gotta know what you're doing, and there is a certain science to being a grill master like I am.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you see, a burger is kind of like a woman.
Well, I'm afraid to ask, but how so?
They need to be hot, juicy, and dribble down my chin when
Okay, that's all we need to know. All right, well, what I wanted to talk to you about, Jimmy Jeff, wasn't burgers, but the new Jackal album. Have you heard it?
Oh, well, hell yeah, I have. I went to Walmart the day it came out and bought it.
Oh, well, what a surprise.
Oh, yeah, Jesse James Dupree is the man.
Sure.
I've seen them 4 or 5 times live, and he brings out that chainsaw and plays it like it's a guitar or something.
Oh, well, yeah, it sounds like a saxophone.
It's like, oh, 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 oh.
Yeah, right. So, do you like the new album or not?
Yeah, it kicks ass.
Okay, well, let's check some of it out right now.
I'm
Well, something that you might be interested in, Jimmy Jeff, my band Galactic Cowboys were supposed to open for Jackal back around 1993.
No way.
Yeah, we were just finishing up the Dream Theater tour, and we were supposed to go out with them next, but a couple things happened.
Yeah?
Yeah, they ended up going on tour opening for Aerosmith and arenas, and Galactic Cowboys, we got dropped.
Yeah, I like Aerosmith. I like that rag doll and the dude looks like a lady.
Yeah, so that was my Jackal story.
Did you hear that Steven Tyler did a country album?
Yep. Yes, I did.
You know, he does kind of look like a lady now that I mention it.
All right, let's hear another Jackal song.
Man, I love that right there.
Yeah?
Jackal's one of my favorite bands of all time.
Okay, well, this is something else you might like. It's from Hell Yeah, and it's from their new CD called Undeniable. So what'd you think of that?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think so too. It's got the usual heavy stuff on there, but it's also got some really melodic stuff on here. That's really cool.
Yeah, well, I gotta get out of here.
Oh.
I'm going out with the guys tonight to the Shady Lady.
What, is that strip club you're talking about?
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, all right, man. And speaking of hell yeah, let's hear a little bit more of that.
All righty, you take her easy.
Will do, Jimmy Jeff. We'll talk to you soon.
Carry on.
For the last 10 or 15 years, every single summer, I've been going to the Vans Warped Tour. And for a long time, I'd just go by myself because none of my friends were into that kind of music. And also because most of the people who go to Vans Warped Tour are between the ages of 25 and 15. But that's never stopped me. I just go and have a good time.
He's sort of creepy.
Of course, that all changed about 7 years ago when I met my wife, Lindsay. I took her the first year we were dating, and she's been going with me ever since. However, the thing is, summers in Missouri are kind of like Lindsay. They're really, really hot.
Ooh, hot.
Oh, hot, yeah, right? That's hot. That is hot.
And so the Warped Tour is sometimes kind of like, more of an endurance contest. Can you survive it? And after last year's, it was so incredibly hot outside that I just said, that's it. I'm never going to another Warped Tour. But then they announced the lineup for this year's festival, and Lindsay and I both said, let's go. And despite the fact that it was 90 degrees and humid, and we knew we were going to be miserable, we headed out and got there around noon. And I thought we were getting there plenty early, but apparently not. Because when we showed up, I found out that one of the bands we wanted to see had already played.
Oh, no!
Yes, a really cool band called 4 Years Strong had already gone on at 11:20. And so I missed them, and that's another problem with the Warped Tour. You never know when anybody's going to play because they always just announce it the morning of the show. And even though it cost you $50 to get into the festival, then you have to pay $2 to get a little schedule. And that's when you find out what time all the bands that you want to see are going on. Another thing about Warped Tour is that, there's about 8 or 9 stages, but some of the bands you want to see are going to be playing at the same time.
This is a tragedy.
And that was the case once again, and it was very frustrating, but we kind of just tried to make the most out of it.
We understand what you've gone through. You're a hero.
And though we missed a couple of things, we also saw a bunch of cool stuff. For instance, I saw a band called The Word Alive, which was definitely worth checking out. And I had also never seen The Veil of Maya, and they were quite good. But at 2 o'clock, it was time for the band that we had mainly gone to see, and that's Ice Nine Kills. And once again, they came out and just destroyed the place. And Lindsay was on the front row for this, and I was a couple rows behind her. And Ice Nine was by far the best band we saw all day. And so Ice Nine Kills was great, and as they're walking off the stage, I see the bass player turn and he flips his pick out toward the audience. And I see that it's heading right for me, so I stick my hand up, it bounces off my hand, falls down, and sticks to my sweaty face. And I reach up to get it off my face, and it falls down onto my arm where it sticks again to my sweaty arm. And I pick it off my arm, and about that time, Lindsay turns around, and I said, "Look at what I got." And I put that pick in my billfold, and a couple of days later, I put that pick on a necklace and gave it to Lindsay. And now she will always have something to remember that day at Warped Tour when we were sweating our butts off watching Ice Nine Kills.
How precious is that?
Yeah, I'm such a romantic. What can I say?
It's really kind of nauseating.
After Ice Nine Kills, there was nothing really going on for the next couple hours, so we just kind of walked around. And as I've told you, somebody always will come up to me out of nowhere and start talking to me. And I was wearing this Wildheart shirt, and this guy all of a sudden comes up to me and goes, "Whoa!" And he points to my shirt, and I go, "Yeah, you down with the Wildhearts?" And he's got kind of this glazed look on his face, and he goes, "Where are you from?" And of course, I think we're about to talk about the Wildhearts, so I just go, "Kansas City." And he's like, "Oh, well, I've got these books I'd like you to read." And I'm like, "Oh, are you a Hare Krishna?" And he's like, "Yeah, you heard of us?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man, I gotta go." And he's like, "Hey, wait, would you mind donating?" And I'm like, "No, sorry, man, I paid to get in here."
You are so cheap.
But that's kind of the way it was all day. Everybody wanted you to tip them. Even the guy selling a $6 bottle of Gatorade. But anybody out there was more than willing to pay whatever to get a bottle of liquid because it was so freaking hot. And here I am, this guy in his 50s, walking around out there with all these pussy teenagers who look like they're about to pass out. And at one point, I look over and I see this kid who is dressed in all black and his hair's dyed black. And he's leaned over like he's about to puke. And there's this big old guy standing beside him who is obviously his dad. And he's just looking at the boy like, "What is your problem?" And I had to laugh and I told Lindsay, "You know, that dad is probably used to being outside because he has to work. Something that most of these kids know nothing about."
Punks!
"And if it's one thing I can't stand, it's these dadgum kids today."
I understand how you feel.
So yeah, I was one of the oldest people at this festival, but there were still more older people than there were blacks.
Say what?
Yeah, apparently punk and metal music is kind of a Caucasian thing, because I only saw two black guys all day, and one of them was a roadie.
What's going on with that?
But speaking of metal and metalcore music, I saw the band Secrets that afternoon, and I love them. And they were actually better this time than the last time I saw them at Warped Tour. They've added a couple of new members, and their stage show is a lot more energetic, and it was a lot of fun. But around 4 o'clock, we saw about three bands in a row that I really liked back in the early 2000s. And first was Yellow Card, and apparently this is their last tour, and they're going to do one more album and call it a day. And so I was glad I got to see them one last time, as well as Sum 41. Remember them?
No, I don't.
Yeah, a punk pop band that had a few hits, and they were really good. They got back together kind of with the original lineup, and I enjoyed it. And another band who was reformed recently that I got to see at Warped Tour this year was Good Charlotte.
Oh my God.
I really loved their first album, and I was kind of embarrassed to say it for a while, but they had some great songs. I love their harmonies, and I'm glad to see them back together. And even though they're 15 years older now and probably in their 30s and still writing songs about high school, they're still good at what they do, and they just put out a new album called Youth Authority, and check this out. You know, the two main guys in this band are the Madden brothers, Benji and Joel. And one of them used to be married to Nicole Richie, and the other one was married to Jessica Simpson's sister. And they may be a couple of total douchebags, I don't know. But there is something about two brothers singing together when they're really good. The harmonies are just incredible. And that's the one thing I've always loved about Good Charlotte.
It's always done before the light.
So we saw a few songs by Good Charlotte, but we had to run over to another stage and see one of my favorite bands, Crown the Empire. And I'd like to say that I loved them, but I've seen them several times, and this wasn't one of their better shows. I didn't really care for the set list, and they didn't really blow me away, but still a great band.
Nobody cares.
We also saw partial sets of Motionless in White and Falling in Reverse. But a band that really surprised me was a band that I didn't even plan on seeing, but it was Issues. And they came out and just laid it down. And I honestly think a lot of you people who are listening right now would like them. They're from Atlanta, just like Stuck Mojo is, and they've kind of got that funky metal vibe. And we ended up staying through their whole set, and by the end, I was really impressed.
I got this old girl, I know she's trying to play me. She's like a Honda, these days I drive Mercedes. She's a killer, try to get inside my head. Try to get my wine in red, but she prefers the blood I bled. Playing chess, ain't no way I'm gonna fight fair. She's playing tricks like the vixen in my nightmare. So damn greedy, that girl is so needy. I'm the king of this game, but I think she just beat me.
Yeah, so if you like that, make sure and check that out. They're a band called Issues.
Oh, yeah, you know, whatever.
By this time, it was 8 o'clock in the evening, and Lindsay and I were both dead tired and worn out by the sun. But there was still one band left to see, and that was Atreyu. And I hadn't seen them in a long time. They just recently got back together in the last year or so. But it was all the same guys, and they sounded great, and the crowd just went crazy. And there was only about 500 people or so watching, but they got the entire crowd to run in a circle pit around the soundboard. And it was kind of a good way to end the day. Lindsay and I were both burned to a crisp, and so we just went to Steak and Shake and had a burger and a milkshake. But will we go to Warped Tour again next year? Eh, probably.
What the hell's wrong with this guy?
A few days later, Lindsay and I went to a club here in Kansas City to see Otep. And if you don't know anything about her, well, she's a poet, metalhead, lesbian, radical leftist. And though I completely disagree with her on her politics, and I probably wouldn't get along with her personally, she's got some songs with heavy grooves that totally slay, and her band is awesome. And we were right down front rocking out. And even though Lindsay is a much bigger fan than I am, I enjoyed Otep. She's not someone I would want to hang out with every day, but overall, a pretty good show. Time now for a hugely popular segment here on the Rockcast. It's where I break down songs and tell you all kinds of interesting behind-the-scenes tidbits. Hence the name, Monty's Total Breakdown. And the first song today is surprisingly by Galactic Cowboys.
Shocking!
This is the title track off the Space in Your Face CD. It's Space in Your Face. This was basically just an instrumental song that was written by our drummer, Alan Doss. And he brought in these badass riffs, and we didn't really know what to do with it for a while. But then one day in pre-production, we were sitting around discussing what the name of the album should be. And I don't know really where it came from, but all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, I said, Space in Your Face. And we all looked at each other and went, yeah. And about a minute later, we all rose to our feet, added gang vocals, and voila, the song Space in Your Face was born. When I first met our guitar player, Dane Sonye, he was a 19-year-old kid, and he didn't even own an amp, or a car, or a bed, for that matter. He was sleeping on somebody's couch at the time, but he fit what we were doing perfectly. And by the time we started to record Space in Your Face, he had blossomed into a hell of a player. Dane loved the blues, and he was a big fan of Stevie Ray Vaughan. And so when we needed a guitar solo in this song, it was right in his wheelhouse. The song Space in Your Face is only a minute 39 seconds long, so it actually takes more time for me to talk about it than it does to listen to it. And so how about I just break down another song?
What is the point of that?
All right then. The next song is off At the End of the Day, and it's called Mr. Magnet.
Mystery Palette.
This was a song I wrote for the Machine Fish Suite, and most of you Galactic fans are familiar with that. And as you know, it was seven songs that were all tied together that tell the story of the cutthroat world of the music industry.
Oh my gosh.
That's right, kids. There's all kinds of evil people out there who are ready to steal your money and use you for all you're worth. And the character Mr. Magnet is one of those guys who will suck you in with his charm, and yet his greed stinks to high heaven.
What are you talking about, you deranged idiot?
Now, you're probably asking yourself, was Mr. Magnet based on a real-life person? Well, yeah, he was.
There, behind the mask, the pain is concealed. Charisma abides with a positive pull. The negative words that you learn to despise. Mr. Magnet, Mr. Repellent. He's a loser, but you can't tell it. As the spectacle begins, Mr. Magnet draws you.
By this point in GC, we'd kind of moved away from some of the thrash stuff we were doing in the early days, and this song was just kind of one of those Beatlesque poppy tunes with an edge, and it had kind of a Cheap Trick, Wild Hearts, dare I say, crunchy vibe. We recorded this album in a vacant office building in Houston, and Alan was the producer. And even though the album and this song were different than what we'd done on the first two CDs, I still love it. And the vocals at the end of this song are still one of my favorite things that we ever did in GC.
You can't
All right, I'm going to read another email, and this one comes from Dan the Man Cunningham, who says, "Hey, Monty, I have the most important question of all time to ask you, next to do you want to have sex, which I'm not going to be asking."
Good, thank God.
However, my question is,
are you ready for some football?
Am I ready for some football?
You know, Dan, there is such thing as a stupid question.
You know, I'm going to have to say, yeah. Anybody that knows me knows that I love me some NFL football. I mean, just ask my wife. She's had to put up with my addiction to sports for 7 years now. And the other day, she comes up to me and says, "Hey, I want to come on the Rockcast and give you a quiz to test your knowledge of sports." And I said, "Well, yeah, that'd be great, because every single one of my listeners absolutely loves sports."
And I don't think that's true.
And so here now is your news, weather, traffic, and apparently sports girl, Lindsay.
Hey, hey, hey.
How you doing, you sexy thing?
I am fabulous.
Awesome. Well, Lindsay, you know, honestly, I'm kind of surprised you're doing the sports quiz, because I actually thought you hated sports.
Oh, I do.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just reading this shit.
Ah, all right, I see. Well, let's do this thing.
Okay, well, last season, LeBron James single-handedly won the NBA championship for Cleveland all by himself. Is he A, the best player in the NBA, B, the best player on the planet, or C, a huge self-absorbed douchebag?
Okay. Well, I know most people consider LeBron James the best player in the NBA, and a lot of people say he's the best player on the planet. But I don't think there's any debate that that guy is completely full of himself and the biggest douche that ever douched. So I'm going to say C.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
The next question is, after winning the NBA championship, LeBron James, A, won the MVP award, B, told the people of Cleveland he did it for them, C, laid down on the court and cried like a little bitch, or D, all of the above?
Okay, well, let's break this down. I know he won the MVP, and taking all the credit for winning the championship does sound like something he would say. And I'm pretty sure that after the game, he just laid down on the court and started bawling for no apparent reason. So I am going to say D, all the above.
Right again.
Yeah, I am killing it.
Turning to Major League Baseball, after running into the Texas Rangers second baseman, Jose Bautista of the Toronto Blue Jays was punched in the face. Did Bautista, A, get suspended, B, apologize to the second baseman, or C, suddenly realize what a huge douchebag he is?
Well, this is easy, Lindsay, because Jose Bautista is one of my least favorite athletes ever. And seeing him get punched in the face was not only awesome, but had to be a big wake-up call to him, and he surely realized what a gigantic tool he is. So I'm going to say C.
Aw, the answer was actually A. He got suspended.
Ah, oh well. You gotta admit, though, the guy seems like a real dick.
Oh yeah, totally.
All right, well, next question.
Number 4. Which of these things did New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady not do this offseason? Was it A, workout, B, bang a model, or C, deflate his balls?
All right, what did Tom Brady not do? Let's see. Well, I know he probably worked out. And he's married to a model, so that would just leave the last one. And I will say, he did not deflate his balls.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, yes it is.
That is correct.
All right, let's do another one.
Which of the following statements about last year's Stanley Cup playoffs is false? A. The Pittsburgh Penguins defeated the San Jose Sharks 4-2. B. No one in America was aware the games were even being played. Or C. Justin Bieber sang the national anthem before Game 4.
Okay, which one was false? Well, I guess I'll go with B. No one in America was aware the games were being played.
That's actually true. No one cares about the NHL.
Yeah, well, I guess they do in Canada.
The correct answer was C. It was, in fact, Metallica, not Justin Bieber, who did the anthem.
Yeah, whatever. Next question.
Okay, complete the following statement. Soccer is A. The world's most beloved sport. B. Much like watching golf. Or C. Comparable to being waterboarded.
Well, as you know, Lindsay, I hate soccer, but from what I hear around the world, it's a beloved sport. So I'll go with A.
Oh. Aw, I'm sorry. I would have accepted B or C.
Come on, who wrote these questions? That was a tricky one, but let's try one more.
The most frequently asked question at this year's Olympics in Rio was A. Will the women's gymnastics team win the gold medal? B. Why is the water in the swimming pool green? Or C. What the hell is the deal with those giant hickeys on Michael Phelps' back?
Well, I didn't watch much of the Olympics at all, but what the hell were those things on Michael Phelps' back? So I'm going to say the answer is C.
You got it.
Okay, Lindsay, so apparently I don't know as much about sports as I thought I did, but I did pretty well, so what do I win?
Well, that remains to be seen. Your reward will come later.
Oh, nice!
And that's the quiz. See you later.
Well, all right. Thank you, news, weather, traffic, and now sports girl Lindsay.
Yeah.
Don't forget to check out my website, MontyCalvin.net, where you can order yourself some crunchy CDs or a Rockcast t-shirt. And if you're planning to buy a t-shirt, you might want to go ahead and do that because I'm starting to sell out of certain sizes. So don't wait too long and be disappointed. I'm just saying.
Nobody's buying this crap.
I've got time for a couple of more emails, and the first one's from Matt in KC. And he says, while I await the new GC with bated breath, and I'm not even really sure what that means, I heard a tune on Sirius XM that you need to check out if you haven't already. It was called The Eagle Has Landed by Avatar.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, Matt, I actually have that CD, and it's some interesting stuff. It's a little weird at times, they mix a lot of styles together, and the guitar players are really freaking good. And I'm planning on seeing them in a few weeks. They're opening for Killswitch Engage, Volbeat, and Avenged Sevenfold, and that should be an awesome show. And so if I can get there early enough, I'll check them out and I'll let you know how they were live.
Wow.
And I heard from Greg Skipton in Texas, who I've never met, but I'm pretty sure if I ever do meet him, that we're going to hang out and be buddies, because Greg and I just seem to be on the same page.
Weirdos.
And Greg wanted to know what I thought of the new Metallica song, Hardwired. Apparently it's going to be on their next CD, and so I went and checked it out, and I'm sure most of you have heard it by now, so I don't need to play it. But my thoughts on it were that, some of it was kind of cool, and at first I thought, all right, you know, they're getting back to the thrashing again, and that's nice. But overall, as a song, was it that great? Not really to me. And I asked Greg what he thought, and he kind of thought the same thing. And to me, it doesn't really matter what the style of music is, it always comes down to the song. And I'm going to start playing you some of my favorite songs on future episodes of the Rockcast. And I think you'll be surprised at some of them because they're not always heavy. Some of my favorite tunes of all time are ballads, and I'm going to play you out with one right now. This is from that band I was talking about earlier in the show, Yellow Card. It's from their Ocean Avenue CD, and it's called Only One, and I'm going to dedicate this to my only one, Lindsay.
Yeah, and it doesn't make it any less sickening.
But that is going to do it for me for now, so until next time, this has been Monty saying take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me, and
rock on. This has been Monty's Rockcast.
The end.